Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Where's Linda? There you are. Thank you for asking for prayers for me, because I certainly am going to need it today. As far as you thanking me, I'm going to let you hang on to that until I'm done, okay? You might take it back. So, well, back on July 26th of this year, the entire world was exposed to the most vile, the most revolting, the most disrespectful display of human depravity I could ever imagine. Who knows what I'm talking about? Sherry, what am I talking about? No. Anybody else? The opening ceremonies to the Olympics. Absolutely. And I was going to watch the Olympics, but after that, I protested. As if the representation of a three-way bisexual encounter alluded to by three folks retreating behind closed doors wasn't enough to make your blood boil and throw the TV remote through the screen, then the following scenes were. Of course, I'm referring to the Olympics organizers' choice to mock the portrayal of the Last Supper with drag queens, transvestites, and any other number of, let me get this right, LGBTIQA++ individuals was the highest level of debauchery ever portrayed on such a grand schedule. And yes, I had to look that up because that's way beyond me. When I saw this, I thought I was going to get through it. When I saw this, my heart ached. I was ashamed of what humankind had done. I immediately went to prayer with the desire to tell our Heavenly Father, Lord, we're not all like that. But in my struggle to find the words, it dawned on me, this wasn't about me. It was about them. Then I knew God already knew what was going on, and that I needed to ask for God to somehow help not only them, but to equip and guide me so that when I encounter such perversion, that I might be able to help someone who is struggling with what I'm going to call gender misidentification. So I know today that I'm preaching to the choir, but each of us need to be armed and prepared to help those who need guidance to God's path. And of course, where do we find this guidance? In God's Word, the Holy Bible. Absolutely. Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, help me find the words that you would have me share with your family, your church family, my church family, here and today. Lord, we know this is a terrible subject to share and to talk about, and very difficult. But with your help and guidance, Lord, we can lead others to you. Help us find that way. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, let me ask you this. Do we change what the Bible says according to our current situation or societal norms? No, it means the same thing today as it meant when it was written, or even before it was written. I hope that I don't step on any toes today, but all I ask is that you love me like a brother, listen to what is discussed today, and then if you have concerns, take them to the Lord for your guide, for his guidance. When it comes to the topic of gender identification, the biblical roles of men and women, we must choose a side. We cannot simply sit by and do nothing. We either follow our faith in God or not. Our spiritual commitment is not a smorgasbord of things we can pick and choose to follow. Over the past few years, for reasons I cannot begin to explain, a transgender frenzy has erupted in our nation, if not the entire world. At first, we were being fed this malarkey in drips and dribbles. But now, it seems the evil behind this has turned on the fire hose. Unfortunately, we shouldn't be all that surprised by the immortality displayed at the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, since even our current president invited a man made famous by TikTok, who now claims to be a glittering girl, into the White House for an interview. The president gushed about the need for so-called gender reassignment surgeries. I don't know if this came first or if the establishment of the third day of Wednesday is now celebrated as International Pronouns Day. Yeah. You know, I looked it up. That actually occurred about 5 years ago, kind of on the down low. In this age of unprecedented confusion about sexual identity, it is now trendy to be trans. According to a Pew Research study from June 22, approximately 1.6% of adults identify as transgender or non-binary, with the majority of these being under 30. Folks, that's over 2 million young adults. And when we dare openly discuss our belief in the Bible, or even in basic human biology, we may very well be labeled as bigoted or transphobic. As most of you know, as most of you know my background, I'm certainly not a biologist, and I'm not an expert in gender matters. Ooh, open it. Thank you.
Because he's
pink. Well, later on we're going to talk about a good wife is hard to find. As most of you know my background, I'm not a biologist or an expert on gender matters. Rather, my goal today is to share with you what the Bible has to say about gender identification and a little bit about the biblical roles of men and women. I recently discovered a story about someone who stopped attending a particular church. I'm not talking about our church. Because the church spoke against homosexuality. She referred to knowing some gay people who were really nice, and she believed her God would not condemn anyone. Her pastor patiently and politely explained to her what we already know. We know that homosexual behavior is a sin, but God still loves the sinner. It's in that same way that we are to work with individuals with gender identity confusion. Children, of course, are our most vulnerable and are on the front line as social media, schools, celebrities, and even some libraries are promoting an unbiblical and unnatural gender ideology. Speaking of school libraries and misguided sexuality education, one example comes from a picture book written for 4-year-old children called The Gender Fairy, featuring two transgender children. Here's one line from that book. Only you know whether you're a boy or a girl. No one can tell you. There are way too many of these types of books targeting our kids and grandkids. One is bi-bi-binary. I'm not a girl. Jacob's new dress. And gender-swapped fairy tales. Unfortunately, too often our kids are no longer taught to think for themselves. Rather, they are exposed to many topics that are better left to teens or young adults. When God created humankind as male and female, He didn't just say it was good like He had said with His other creations. According to Genesis 1, chapter 31, verse 31, regarding man and woman, when God surveyed what He had created, we read, and behold, it was very good. The word good means well-pleasing, and very has the idea of being exceedingly great. I'm sure we're all well-versed in the book of Genesis, including the progression of the verses. Human beings are made in the image of God. He made male and female. He made them to procreate. He called it all very good. As we know, God's way is always best. Contrary to the thinking in our current culture, gender is not just a societal construct or something one chooses as their identity. Your gender was designed at and determined at conception. And as Psalms 139 says, because God formed your inward parts, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. To say it another word, you could say your biological sex and gender are fixed and finite, not fluid. Males and females are equal but not identical because their biological sex is separate and distinct. God created males and females specifically with different purposes. We've been made differently by design with distinct capacities and roles to fulfill for the divine mandate to serve as stewards of the earth. Gender is designed by the grand designer at conception, from our DNA to our reproductive organs. God is the giver of gender. Males and females do not have interchangeable anatomy, and those differences are not inconsequential. Both the Bible and biology make this clear. I like the way Bethlehem Baptist Church talked about this. We affirm that when God created human beings, He established a male-female binary that is normatively displayed at the chromosomal level of human biology. These biological markers cannot be legitimately chosen or changed based on personal preference, subjective feelings, or social norm. Can you imagine if Adam would have said to God, I know you made me a male, but I feel like a woman, so could you change or remove the anatomy you gave me? Please understand that hormone treatment or surgery cannot reassign sex. Christian author Dr. Sharon James writes, it's impossible to change sex. You can only change the appearance. Our birth sex cannot be changed. No amount of surgery can change a man into a woman or a woman into a man. The XX and XY chromosomal pattern is set at conception. Another author states, people who undergo sex reassignment procedures do not become the opposite sex. They merely masculinize or feminize their outward appearance. So let's talk about God's plan for men and women as we read from the Bible. According to the Bible, men have many roles. Here are just a few to consider. Spiritual leadership. Men should lead their family spiritually by attending church, reading the Bible, praying, and giving to the Lord. Protection and care. Men should protect and care for the interest of the church, its leaders, his family, and needy people. provision and support. Men should be the providers of care and support for their families. Men should practice sexual purity, consistently demonstrate integrity and honesty, assume the role of servant leadership, provide discipling to others, conduct ourselves only under Christ's authority, fearing God and keeping His commandments, and loving our wives as Christ loved the church. Likewise, the Bible tells us of God's plan for women. Many examples can be found in Proverbs chapter 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing in food from afar. She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for the household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her head. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respectful at the city gate, is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all her hands have done, and let her workings bring praise at the city gate. In Titus chapter 2, we read, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. They can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. And finally, in 1 Corinthians, nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, also man is born of woman, but everything comes from God. Transgenderism is unbiblical and sinful. That doesn't mean people who feel this way or act this way are beyond God's love. But let's consider 8 reasons why it is wrong. It's contrary to God's design for humanity. It opposes God's design for you. It's confusing, and our God is not a confusing God. It makes provision for gratifying the desires of your flesh. It exchanges God's glory for man's. It dishonors the body that God gave you. It's narcissistic, worshiping, and self-serving. It is unnatural and dishonorable. So finally, what can we do to combat this trend? Number one, pray. Since it's ultimately a spiritual issue, we must put on our spiritual armor and pray bold prayers. Number two, vote biblical values. There's no excuse for a Christ follower not to vote. This year, with the upcoming presidential election, it is especially important for you to vote for leaders who share your Christian beliefs. Teach children and grandchildren God's good design. God created everyone in His image, and He created men and women differently by design. Knowing we are created by God as male and female, it is very good news. It liberates us from the pressure of having to come up with our own gender identity. Love. While there's a place for righteous anger about this issue, let's make sure we are demonstrating love to people made in the image of God, especially those in our families. Let's remember what Romans 2, verse 4 says, God's kindness leads to repentance. Protect our vulnerable children. It's essential to monitor what a child sees on their phone, on their computer, and what they're exposed to through social media, celebrities, friends, and teachers. Let's be clear. The American College of Pediatricians says, conditioning children into believing a lifetime of chemical and surgical impersonation of the opposite sex is normal and healthful is child abuse. I've heard it said like this, changing genders is a short-term gain with a long-term pain. According to the American Psychiatric Association, as many as 98% of gender-confused boys and 88% of gender-confused girls eventually accept their biological sex after naturally passing through puberty. So we've got to give them a chance to get past that. Let's not let our young children make life-altering decisions before their brains and bodies are fully formed. Number six, speak up. Parents must be informed about what is being taught in schools and speak up when necessary at the local school board meetings. Unfortunately, those promoting gender theory often present parents as unsafe, bigoted, and transphobic. Let me say it clearly. Parents are responsible for their children. Parents have a right and are right to question what their child is exposed to. Prepare for pushback. If you stand on biology and the Bible, you will be increasingly marginalized. In addition, your kids and grandkids who take a stand on truth will be teased, bullied, and maybe even worse. If you share biblical truth of transgenderism, you may find yourself labeled, canceled, or worse. Some of you may have already experienced this within your own families, schools, or workplace. Number eight, be hopeful. God can redeem and restore anyone through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Many are detransitioning because they now realize their transition has not satisfied and in many cases has compounded their problems. Share the gospel. The post-fall condition of humankind can be seen in many arenas where things have gone awry. We need to be quick to share God's love and the message of forgiveness, freedom, healing, and hope while gently and strategically guiding a person back to the Creator's gracious intention and design. Number 10, churches must speak up. John Stonestreet writes, with a 900% increase in young people claiming gender dysphoria, love must speak the truth. As gentle as we must be with those who struggle with whom God created them to be, the church has to stand for what is true about humanity, including God's creation for the human body and the inherent value each person has since they bear His image. One would expect churches to unite in speaking about God's creation and design and against gender theory. But sadly, some have gone silent, but worse, other churches embrace transgender movement. We believe that God's design for His creation and His way of salvation serve to bring Him the greatest glory and bring us the greatest good. God's good plan provides us with the greatest freedom. Jesus came that we might have life and have it in overflowing measure. He is for us and not against us. And witnessing publicly to the good of God for human sexuality revealed in the Bible, we offer the following affirmations and denials. We believe that God wonderfully and immutably creates each person as male or female in His image for one another. Males and females are defined by their anatomical and reproductive organs. These two distinct complementary sexes are determined at conception and together reflect the image of nature of God. To deny any part of this teaching is to subject God's purposeful design to the desires of humanity and the influence of contemporary culture. We understand that a person can never thrive or flourish apart from living in harmony with God. Therefore, rejection of one's biological sex is a rejection of the image of God within that person. We believe that one's sex is biological, immutable, and unchangeable by medicines, surgeries, or by any human declaration. Our sexuality is designed by God either for complementary unity with the opposite sex in the context of marriage, for procreation and mutual delight, or for celibacy in the undivided devotion to Christ. We believe that God offers redemption, forgiveness, cleansing, renewal, reconciliation, and restoration to all who confess and forsake their sin, seeking His mercy and forgiveness through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He offers power to live free from the bondage of sin for those who repent and turn away from the disobedience of God's word. We believe that every person must be afforded compassion, love, kindness, respect, and dignity. Hateful and harassing attitudes, language, or behaviors directed towards any individual are to be repudiated and are not in accord with our Savior, the Scriptures, or the doctrines of our church. Okay, I know this topic is difficult to address with others, especially with those who are struggling with gender confusion. But as I opened with, we must choose a side. We cannot sit by and do nothing. I hope this message has given you inspiration and the tools to help you guide anyone's to God's plan for each of us. Thank you. Well, thank you. You know, we are blessed with the most amazing pastor that I can imagine. We've had good pastors, not to take away from any of them, but Pastor Curtis is just right for us, I think. And to try to stand here and take his place is an impossible task. As you've noticed from the couple of messages I have offered in the past, I kind of touch on those little harder things. And that way, if I upset a parishioner, the pastor can blame it on me. But I do research the Bible a lot to get my message put together. I do research other pastors' messages on some of the topics and put together a message that, frankly, I think needs to be said. So I hope you got something out of it. Thank you. And with that, I'll never make a pastor because I didn't hold you 15 minutes after, but we do have another song.